Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio. Radio.
Kevin just returned from a six-night cruise on Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas. It went out of Fort Lauderdale over to the Western Caribbean. And not only did he sail on Allure, but he also sailed in a Crown Loft suite. Kevin joins us on the phone for the first time in almost 2 years. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Doug. How are you doing?
Good, man. It's funny because I'm looking through our call history here, and it's been about 2 years since we last chatted. But in a way, it was a long 2 years. But in another way, it seems like we just chatted yesterday.
No, it's crazy. Lots happened, right?
Yeah, for sure. So I wanted to hear all about this Crown Loft experience on Allure. But before we do that, you are over in the Washington area. So in the northwest part of the United States, you had to get down to Fort Lauderdale for your cruise. Give us some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to take this six-night clear across the country when there are other options in your neck of the woods?
Well, we definitely wanted to get somewhere warm, right? You know, this sailing was in November over the Thanksgiving holiday. And it's starting to get a little chilly up in this neck of the woods. And wanted to get to the warm sunshine of the Caribbean.
So you fly out of Spokane, you make your way to Lauderdale or the Miami area. Did you do any pre-cruise time in South Florida?
Not as much as we usually do, but we did get in the day before. Stayed in one of the beachfront hotels there in Fort Lauderdale. Just that way we were ready to go to board on the ship the next day.
You make your way over to Terminal 18, which was built specifically for these Oasis-class ships, and you go to board Allure of the Seas. How was the embarkation process? Was it any different because you were in a Crown Loft suite?
They do separate out, normal check-in from suite check-in. In theory, it's supposed to be a little bit more expedited, which, looking at the lines, it did seem like it was shorter, but it did take us probably, I'd say, 30 to 40 minutes from curb to ship. A lot of that was just getting all the documentation verified. Obviously right now there's all the, you have to see your negative test and your vaccine cards and so forth. And that was taking a little bit longer than it seemed in the past. And now that Allure is ramping up capacity, it's, like I said, seems a little bit longer than when I sailed another Royal ship back in July.
So you make your way on board Allure. What was your first impressions of the ship?
It's a really awesome ship. We've never sailed an Oasis class ship before. So it's definitely, pretty cool to see it. You entered the ship right on the Royal Promenade on deck 5. And so it's pretty spectacular. And they had a lot of different activities going on there. Big blown up turkey because it was Thanksgiving and so forth. And it was pretty cool to start walking around the ship and exploring and seeing all the different neighborhoods that they have on there.
Nice. Now, I want to hear all about this Crown Loft suite. So what separates the Crown Loft suite from, let's just say, a regular balcony room?
So it's definitely much bigger. I believe they are only located up on deck 17. So there's really not that many rooms up on deck 17, mostly just the Crown Loft suites and a couple other higher suites that Royal offers. It is a two-deck suite, so you access it on deck 17, but it spans up all the way up to deck 18, which I don't think even truly exists per se, because there was no way to get to deck 18. But on the first level, basically just has, like your living area, a fold-out couch. So if you have, quite a few people staying, if you are not, a bathroom down there, TV, so forth, and then has stairs within the suite that takes you up to the upper level, which has an actual bed, a king-size bed, another bathroom with a double shower, which I've never seen on a cruise ship before, and so forth. Then a TV that actually comes down from the ceiling. It's pretty cool to see that happen.
This isn't the room with the slide inside of it, is it?
It's right. It was actually right next door to one.
Okay.
I think that's the Royal, what they call the Royal Loft Suite.
Gotcha.
We saw that from looking around and being able to peer in every once in a while when they were cleaning their room, that I think that one had actually had a slide.
Now, you were traveling with your wife and your 1.5-year-old son. Did the extra square footage make a big difference?
It definitely helped. We were able to actually keep our son down on the main level. The Royal provides they call it a crib, but essentially just a pack and play, mm-hmm. that they provide. And we kept him down there. So when he needed to go to bed or take a nap, my wife and I could go to the upstairs, and watch TV and so forth. But we could still peer down, and watch him and so forth. So it's pretty easy and could easily hear him if he started, crying or whatever.
Do those suites come with a butler, or I guess Royal calls them a genie?
They do not. No. That's the next level up. So this the Crown Loft is part of the Sky class, mm-hmm. which is the middle tier of the suite levels. I think it's C, Sky, and Star. Star gotcha. Class is the one that has the Royal Genie.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's talk about dining on board Allure of the Seas. You have lots of restaurants to choose from. I believe nearly 20 there. So we'll start with the Windjammer, which is the buffet on Royal Caribbean. How was that? Was the whole thing open? Protocols in play? Talk to us about it.
Yeah, so the whole thing was open. Definitely was pretty crowded at times. They would serve you. So there was someone that handed you a plate, and then you kind of walked around, and then the different Royal employees would put things on your plate. They had a few things that you could just pick up and grab. Like jugs of milk or, single serve pastries and so forth that were already on a smaller plate or some sort of item. But it was, for the most part, pretty wide open. And you could, though, easily find a seat if you needed to.
Mm-hmm. We'll go down to the main dining room. How was that?
The main dining room was great. That's primarily where we had most of our dinners, mostly because it's fairly relaxed and so forth. And the wait staff got to know, our needs and everything, but it was really good. The food was excellent. We tend to be main dining room people, for the most part, and, had a great time and, can't really complain about the service or anything.
What was your favorite meal in the main dining room?
One of the first nights they serve prime rib. And so I love prime rib. And so that's usually one of my favorite meals. Plus, on Thanksgiving Day, they had a turkey, full turkey meal. And it was actually really, really good. We've sailed now both on Royal and Carnival on Thanksgiving Day. And I'd say Royal probably has a leg up on Carnival, at least from the one experience.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You said you mostly ate in the main dining room. Did you do any specialties at all?
Not truly, but so one of the benefits that the suites have in varying levels is that you can have access to the what they call coastal kitchen. So it is no additional monies that you have to pay, but it's exclusively for the suite guests. And so we did try out the coastal kitchen for breakfast one day, and it was good. Nothing to really write home about, in my opinion, but they did have a nice view, I guess you could say, because it's also there in deck 17. And so it was a nice view of like the pool deck and on the outer skirts of the ship too.
Well, what kind of grub are you eating up there in the coastal kitchen? I mean, are you doing steak and eggs and all that?
They did have steak and eggs if you wanted it. Okay. They had everything from Eggs Benedict to any type of scrambled eggs, steak and eggs, things like that. So it's pretty nice.
Do you do any munching around the promenade, like at the Promenade Cafe there or the Sorrento's pizza place?
We definitely picked up a few slices of pizza at Sorrento's on several different occasions, and it was really, really good this time. I've had, varying degrees of happiness with it on other ships, but on this ship in particular, when we went there a couple times, it was excellent. We also did Park Cafe, which is there in the Central Park neighborhood area. That's also complimentary. Tried it out a couple lunches. Actually, ended up being primarily our go-to spot for lunch, just because it was not crowded for the most part. Gotcha. And offered good food, and we could get my wife enjoys coffee, and I enjoy some like chai tea and stuff, and you could get good options there. That was an upcharge. We are Diamond members with Royal, so you do get 4 free drinks. So there's usually one of our free drinks throughout the day, but I think they offer that there, plus also at the Cafe Promenade that you were talking about too.
No, I know different cruise lines have different rules about kind of transiting the casino with unvaccinated, as obviously your 1.5-year-old is. So were you able to tell if there was any kind of smoke situation in or around the casino?
So our main dining room assignment was actually on deck 4, which is where the casino is. And I could safely say whenever we walked out of the elevator to go to dinner, you could easily smell the smoke coming out of the casino. That was interesting. A lot of the other ships I've been on, that's usually not the case. They're usually confined to the casino. There was one time we were able to drop off our son. So several Royal ships have a nursery that is an upcharge, but they will watch your kid. I think it's from 6 months to 36 months, and they charge $7 or $8, if I recall, depending upon what time of day it is.
Yeah.
And so we did that a couple times throughout the sailing. And one time we did that, and we're doing some things around the ship and passed through the casino. And it was definitely very, very smoky within the casino too.
Gotcha. Man, I didn't hear you mention Johnny Rocket. So you take a pass on that?
Oh, we stopped there a couple times for milkshakes. That was our biggest thing, was grabbing some milkshakes from Johnny Rockets. We love their Oreo milkshakes.
Absolutely. So let's talk about entertainment on this 6-night cruise. What were your thoughts of it? And we'll start with the theater shows. And actually, were there any reservations required for them?
Yeah, there was definitely reservations. They stressed that numerous times throughout the sailing. And even as a part of the being in the suite, you also get access to the suite concierge. And he would actually call us daily and let us know of what shows were still available for that day if we were interested. And a lot of times there were only one or two shows. So anything from the comedian, because this class of ship actually has a actual dedicated comedy theater, plus any of the theater shows, aqua theater, ice rink, any of those, like you really needed a reservation, especially because of the increased capacity. They had shows that were specific to vaccinated and then shows for everybody as well. And they had different performance times throughout the entire sailing. So it wasn't just one shot for each of the groups, gotcha, which was nice. But yeah, definitely reservations were required and were needed too.
How about the entertainment around the ship, like from any of the lounges or pubs or I forgot what that piano bar is called that everyone loves on the main promenade there?
So we honestly didn't do much of those type of shows, mostly because my son, but we did tackle some of those other the bigger shows that you were talking about earlier, with like the aqua show. The bigger shows, that's when we utilized the nursery for my son. So that way my wife and I could just go enjoy the show on our own. And so as an example, we did the aqua show. That was really cool. It's about 40 to 45 minute show that they have. And like I said, they had several performances of that one throughout the cruise. I did hear that a couple of the shows were canceled due to the weather, because we hit a few rainstorms, in transit between the ports and everything. So that's one I would recommend trying to book earlier, especially in case you do get canceled out, and that way you could still see it. We also saw on our sailing, they had the Broadway show Mamma Mia, and that was about a 2.5-hour performance. So the whole normal play you'd see probably in New York, I would assume. That was really, really cool as well to see that.
The precision in those aqua shows, how it's a group, it's group collaboration, right? Because it takes not only the dancers, but also the captain, because he has to turn the ship in a certain direction with the winds in order for the aqua show to happen, or just call it all together. So I didn't realize it took so many moving parts for the aqua show to happen. But I guess when you think about it, in the winds and the rain in the Caribbean, it really does take a collaborative effort.
It does. Yeah, no, it was a really cool show. I mean, so a lot of people were relating it to some of the Cirque du Soleil water shows you see in like Las Vegas and so forth. And we've seen the ones in Vegas, and I'd say that there's definitely some improvement to reach those levels, but it's still pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you see the Cirque O?
Yes, we have seen that.
That was so cool, wasn't it?
Oh, for sure.
How that high dive pool would appear out of nowhere. They were dancing on looked like a regular stage, and then the lights would go off and it's a high dive pool. People leaping all over the place. It was so wild out there.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. That one in La Reve, I think it is. And both of them, I think, are the two big water shows there in Vegas. And yeah, they're really, really cool.
Now, your ship was sailing between 50 and 60% capacity, depending on who you asked. So how were the sea days as far as crowds and congestion?
I would say, you know, there's definitely some very crowded spots. Right around the buffet in particular was one, you know, around some of the pull decks. But usually you could still find a chair if you really wanted to. There's so many different pools throughout that ship. Plus there's vaccinated versus unvaccinated pools too, the solarium as well, kids pools, all that stuff. Like I said, there's definitely crowds in some spots and not too bad in other ones.
On this itinerary, you hit Cozumel, Honduras, and Costa Maya. So give us a highlight from each port, if you would.
One thing to keep in mind right now is with the protocols, if you're traveling with an unvaccinated kid, you have to do a Royal Caribbean sponsored excursion, at least when we were sailing at the end of November. So in Cozumel, we went to a beach area, La Maria, I think it was called. It was really nice, you know, as far as that, you know, they had a chair you could sit at, you know, included lunch, an umbrella, everything, you know, in about 3 to 4 hours at the beach, which was good for us, I guess, as far as that's concerned. You know, definitely the time did fly by. I think they said normally they do like a buffet for lunch, but because of COVID protocols, they were doing like by menu, but it was all you could eat menu. So that was pretty nice. Actually, all the ports, you had to wear your mask pretty much anywhere around the port, plus anywhere on transportation. And then typically whenever you got to your excursion, then a lot of times it was only just if you could be socially distanced, then you didn't really need to wear a mask. Gotcha. Was kind of the general protocols at the time.
And what'd you do in Honduras?
And so in Honduras, we went to Gumbalumba, the monkey and birds park, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. My son got to hold a monkey. I think we got a nice picture of that. The one thing that we were kind of surprised about by the tour is we thought there was going to be more, I guess, free time to kind of roam around, but it was definitely a very guided tour. And I don't know if that's because of COVID protocols or not, but it was about a 2-hour guided tour through this park. And then you had about an hour to kind of do whatever you wanted after that. They had a beach that you could actually go and swim if you wanted to. And they also had zip lining as well that you could do too. But we mostly just kind of walked around a little bit as far as that's concerned, especially because then it started pouring down rain on us towards the end of that. Mm-hmm. So we were definitely anxious to kind of at that point get back to our ship.
Sure. And then your final port was Costa Maya. What'd you do there?
So Costa Maya, we ended up actually just staying on board. And the main reason behind that is there really weren't that many excursions that Royal Caribbean was offering. We had one booked. And then about 2 weeks before our sailing, we got an email that said that Royal Caribbean canceled that particular excursion due to operational issues, whatever that means. And then, so we looked at anything else that was available. And, you know, with a 17-month-old, nothing else really kind of struck our fancy as far as that. So we just used it as another sea day as far as that's concerned, and actually took advantage of the pool that's on board, the small kids pool they have on there. Plus we ended up doing a family photo shoot with one of the onboard photographers. That was pretty cool to do.
So you make your way back to Port Everglades. How was debarkation?
Debarkation is definitely a lot quicker than getting on the ship. We had to prearrange some transportation within the Fort Lauderdale area since we kind of needed a car seat with our little guy. And so we had a specific time. And so we need to say we kind of were one of the last ones to get off the ship. They started debarkation probably around 6:45 or 7 a.m. And we got off probably around 8:45 roughly. We were definitely we were at the point where they said everyone, you know, all bag tags have been called, you know, please make your way to get off the ship. And getting off was definitely not too bad. Probably the biggest thing was after we got our checked bags to get through passport control, I guess, where they have the facial recognition, everything, you know, which was pretty nice. But it's a long line to get through it. But I'd say that was probably 20 minutes at most, 15, 20 minutes from the time we left our stateroom to the time we were on the curb waiting for our transportation.
So 3 ports, 6 days on a ship. He's a year and a half old. You think you have a future cruiser on your hands?
I think we do.
Yeah.
We already have 2 more cruises booked with him. Nice. One coming up in December, another one next year. And so we'll see. I think the big one will be next year when we have an 8-night sailing. So that'll be the real test on that one.
Yeah, for sure. Any first time tips to offer someone considering sailing Allure of the Seas?
I think it's a great ship. I mean, you can definitely usually get some really good deals, especially now that we're all starting to get, newer, bigger, badder ships, I guess you could say, with Odyssey and Wonder and so forth. Allure is a great one. Right now it's in Florida. Next year, I think it moves on to Texas to start the Oasis class ships over there. Would highly recommend it.
Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of this cruise?
Just spending the family time. One of the biggest things we enjoy is getting to just disconnect from society and from the world and get to enjoy it with our new family, right? You know, with my wife and my son and get to spend time and create some really cool memories.
I want to get your thoughts on something. If someone was hesitant to take a cruise right now, what would you tell them?
I think it's very safe. I think cruising right now is probably one of the safest things you could do. I mean, everyone has to be vaccinated. And if you're not, you have to go through multiple COVID tests. Everyone has to be COVID tested unless you're under two. I think most cruise lines right now is doing that. We saw a lot of cleaning going on, you know, constantly cleaning. You know, I think it's a really safe place. I mean, you do hear about these outbreaks. I'll put that in quotes, you know, because that's what the media calls them. But it's so small. I mean, so small percentage wise. We were anxious to get on a ship back in, throughout the pandemic, and unfortunately kept getting canceled. And we were anxious to get on board, and we've got quite a few sailings we've already done and already planned. So highly recommend it. And I think the only unfortunate thing that's kind of going on now is, seeing the capacity go up. I miss the days when we cruised back in July and it was only like 30%. It's really cool. But it's great to see the industry picking back up again, though. I'm happy to see that. And it's a great way to vacation.
Well, in closing here, Bud, what's your final thoughts of Allure of the Seas?
We had a great time. Highly recommend it. Can't wait to cruise again soon.
All right. We've been talking with Kevin about his 6-night cruise aboard Allure of the Seas out of Port Everglades to Cozumel, Honduras, and Costa Maya. Kevin, thanks again for coming on. Happy holidays, my friend.
Sounds good, Doug. Have a happy holiday, too.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got for you, buddy.
Cruise Radio is produced at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Get cruise news, ship reviews, and money-saving tips every Thursday on Cruise Radio. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show. If you want to help spread the word, give Cruise Radio a 5-star review. Find Cruise Radio where you listen to your favorite podcast, or online at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.